This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me is Darius Thomas.
The Sour Peach, brought to you by...
In today's ever-growing creative industry, it is not often that you find someone who chooses to stay at one institution for long. Opportunities come, they get frustrated and leave. That's not exactly the case for Derek Ochoa, Director of Creative for Texas Football. Derek has found himself at the same place for over 10 plus years and has seen what many may consider rare air.
I know we're starting right after you rolled out of bed, so.
I've actually been up working since 5 this morning.
Oh, nice.
Boom. Roasted.
It's going to be a nap after this, but I just knew at time that is.
Yep.
24.
That sounded weak because you were clapping so far away from the microphone.
Whoever's editing will just have to live with it.
Do you have an interest in adding motion design to your skill set, but just aren't sure where to start?
Let's go!
Welcome to Baller FX, your source for sports content and motion tutorials. From tips and tricks to long-form tutorials and project deep dives, there's a lot to take in. There's even a free mini-course playlist called How to Animate Sports for Social. This playlist will take you step-by-step through the process of creating a 5-second animated player stat graphic. For your sport-specific motion training, visit BallerFX on YouTube and get started today.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Creative Sports Podcast. This episode this week is about 2 or 3 years in the making. As I check the text messages, we have a special guest, a former coworker of mine, who is Derek Ochoa, the Director of Creative for Texas Football. Derek, finally, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been a lot of text back and forth, but glad we could make it happen.
Awesome. It's like that when you're, you know, busy in tech town.
Oh, yeah. Just a couple things here and there, you know, running this around.
Absolutely. So for those who don't know you, like I said, we worked together for about 4 years at the University of Texas. But tell them a little bit about your background and your journey from the early beginnings to now being the Director of Creative at Texas.
Yeah, I think my journey is kind of different in a way because I've been at the University of Texas for going on 11 years now, pretty much the same place my entire full-time career. Grew up in New Orleans. I was a huge sports fan and, you know, always kind of gravitated towards like the big, you know, intro videos to the NBA on NBC broadcast or, you know, whatever ESPN puts out their little hype tease before an NFL game. So growing up, you know, that was always something I looked forward to. And there was a big game on, you know, I wanted to make sure I was watching to see kind of that lead in video to those games. And those always got me excited. And, you know, I'm a little older. I graduated high school in 2007, graduated from college in 2011. So, you know, at that time when I was growing up, like this field wasn't even close to becoming what it is today. So that stuff always kind of interested me. And I knew I wanted to do something with sports when I grew up and something with video. I always thought I would go into like news broadcast or be a sports anchor or something. You know, that was pretty much the only avenue for that kind of stuff when I was coming up. So I went to LSU. My first year was in 2007. When I got my computer, my own personal laptop for college, you know, that kind of really opened up everything for me. Again, super long ago, you know, early stages of creative and, you know, prosumer software. You know, I had iMovie. And that kind of really opened my eyes to, you know, what was possible in like the most minimal way. So once I got that, you know, I started trying to learn and, you know, seeing guys doing things on YouTube. That was the only real social media video form back then. You know, fans were uploading their own content. And I was wondering, you know, how are they doing that? Like, how are they making this? So just played around a little bit, started, you know, downloading full games of LSU games. Started clipping them up and kind of making my own little hype videos or game recaps. And that was like my first taste of it. And, you know, I was just doing it for fun, you know, something I liked watching growing up and kind of just started doing it, you know, weekly, bi-weekly throughout the, you know, throughout the seasons. And got a YouTube message, like a cold message from Derek Panamsky, who at the time was running one of the recruiting sites in Baton Rouge for LSU, and say, hey man, you know, love the stuff you're doing, but love if you would do it for us. And that was my first gig, you know, in college. I think it was 2008 or 2009, somewhere around there. So I hopped on board with him and just kind of doing some, you know, quick edits for those guys and threw their bug on the video that we were doing and they put on their website. And that actually led into a message from the LSU football recruiting department. And so they kind of saw what we were doing and they brought me in and, you know, met their player of personnel, director of player personnel. And, you know, in the same way of like sports creative, the recruiting departments were so minimal back then too. Like there was, you know, director of player personnel and then maybe some recruiting interns. So they actually brought me in as a intern to kind of edit some videos for the website we were doing, lesmiles.net, which at the time that was a big platform throwback for these schools. Throwback. Yeah. You know, these flash websites and, you know, retro animations coming in and things that leading into the website. You know, there were a couple of schools at the time doing it. So, you know, at that time it was pretty, you know, I thought we were kind of leading the pack. I think Alabama had a, you know, NickSaban.com or whatever. Oregon had like Oregon Gridiron. And, you know, those were some spots that I would, you know, look to for inspiration and see what other schools were doing. So there wasn't really a lot going on. We started putting stuff on YouTube, you know, our highlights were doing, we put them on the website. And so that went, you know, pretty well, you know, I did that for a couple of years until I graduated in 2011. You know, I was hoping for a full-time job after I graduated. You know, we were doing some cool stuff, some stuff that we hadn't really been done before. So I kept kind of pushing, trying to see what that, you know, what the chances of that were happening. Pretty much worked for a year going back and forth between New Orleans and Baton Rouge, basically for free, you know, interning with them still, helping out during the season. And I would go to the games as a fan, you know, I didn't have any game day responsibilities throughout the whole time. So that was pretty cool. Getting to enjoy actual football with, you know, in the stands, in the student section with my buddies and my now wife, you know, we started dating around that time too. So, got to enjoy that. But in 2013, our director of player personnel had a job interview at Texas. He actually ended up not getting the job, but kind of talked me up a little bit. And, they actually created a video position in athletics and they reached out to me and see if I was interested, applied, went through the whole process. And that was my first job out of college. The title was something weird, but basically I was like an assistant sports information director, you know, at the end of the day. But it was an interesting role because my priority was always football. Even though I was under athletics, I always worked closely with football. And at that time, you know, here at Texas, they would put a lot of emphasis on like the website and the YouTube channel. So a lot of the work I was doing was actually internal videos for the football team. You know, I would do game highlights, recruiting videos, you know, the videos in the hotel. So like a lot of that stuff, like probably never saw the light of day, stuff I was doing, you know, just for the team and for the recruiting staff and the football side of things. So yeah, that's how I got to Texas. And then over time, you know, things change, climates change and new responsibilities pop up and kind of attack that with like, hey, I can do that. Or, you know, what else do you guys need me to do? Had a couple coaching changes happen. So some responsibilities got shifted around. You know, just kept working my way up, adding new, you know, qualifications, new job roles, you know, adding to that resume. So I was in that role basically from 2013 to about 2015, 2016, maybe. Got a little promotion, different job title, more, you know, responsibilities. And then 2017, when Tom Herman came, they pretty much revamped the whole football creative, on this side of the thing. They brought in some great guys, Matt Lang, Tony Turnquist, Tommy Lakes. Those guys kind of started the football creative department in 2017. So at that time, I was still under athletics, but worked very closely with them, you know, kind of at the same time, you know, almost a fourth member, if you will, but not under the football umbrella completely, but, you know, working closely with them through that season. 2018, you know, there was some turnover in their department and there was an opening for a director of video. Our director of video production, I think was the correct title. So, you know, talking with Matt and, you know, he fought, you know, pretty hard for me to go over there and make the move full time and to be just strictly under football and football creative. So in 2018, made the move over to football for, you know, the first time, if you will, you know, not under athletics, completely under the football family. And, you know, was in that role for 4 years. I think me and Matt and Tony had 4 seasons together. And then those guys took the dive into freelance and, you know, went off to do their own thing after the 21 season. And 2022, you know, I moved on into the director of creative role. So I've been in this role ever since. So haven't really been anywhere else. But, you know, I learned a lot in the different aspects of my job, you know, whether it was working with SIDs and in the media relations department, working with recruiting, working with, you know, Longhorn Network. So like just taking a lot of different things from different avenues and different people to kind of get to my current spot right now. So I've been a creative director for football since 2022, sorry. And, you know, getting ready to go into our third season this fall. So we're rolling, man. And it's an exciting time for sure.
There's obviously a lot of angles that we could take on this, but I'll start here with constant change of the landscape of college athletics and creatives. You've obviously seen like multiple versions of this, probably on your fifth or 12th iteration of the ever changing. Okay. Should sports have their own person? Should it be under athletics? Should it be this? Should it be that? Working for external. But people are moving around every year. You know, some people every 6 months, some people, you know, a year or two. You've actually stayed at one place for this long. Like, what kind of goes into like the longevity and, you know, pretty much stability? You know, some people move around because there is no upward trajectory, but you were able to, you know, was it fortune, luck, or just the mindset of, hey, whatever happens, you know, we'll figure it out?
Probably a little bit of everything, honestly. Timing for sure. You know, obviously no one really gets to go to one of the top tier blue blood programs right out of college as a, you know, entry level spot. And especially at that time when the industry was nowhere near what it is today, you know,
there wasn't a whole lot of spots back then.
Right. So, you know, I got here like, and you know, looking back at it, I kind of see like, you know, I made it almost, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I'm at one of the top schools. I got a job, like I'm good. And then looking back, you know, I wish I maybe would have pushed myself a little more when it came to learning new things or trying new things or branching out a little bit. But like from a program standpoint, you know, I'm very lucky that I've had a pretty good relationship with every staff that's kind of gone through here. You know, my time has been great. So I've never got to a point where I felt like, for me at least, like I never thought like I need to start looking around or like, you know, this place isn't for me. You know, I never got those vibes. And you know, not everyone's like that. And, you know, that's different. People have different things. So, you know, luckily for me, it's a great city. You know, when I moved here, my wife, my now wife, she was my girlfriend at the time. She moved with me, you know, lucky for me, she's a huge part of my life and my journey. And she helps me do all the things I want to do. So to make that leap with her, you know, we were here together. As time went on, you know, opportunities came up, job opportunities and, you know, people seeing if I was interested. And at the end of the day, like it just never made sense. Right. Mm-hmm. Then we started a family. Like Austin's a great town for a family, you know? So that's always been a big priority for me. You know, my wife and now my kids and my family as a whole, like whatever was best for them. And then you know, on the work side, you know, I'm just enjoying it. You know, there's not many places like Texas. With the fan base tradition, you know, I'll go on our little recruiting pitch, you know, now like all eyes are on you, the big game atmosphere, all that kind of stuff that goes with it. Like that's hard to top. So kind of coming in on the bottom floor and seeing everything grow, you know, having a small part of it at the beginning and now I'm leading the team. Like that's, you know, I don't know if I ever set out to be creative director, but I loved what I was doing the whole time. Mm-hmm. And so when that opportunity came, like there was a part of me like, you know, do I want to do this? Cause I know as more you move up, the more responsibilities and the more time you lose to what you actually love doing. So that's been a kind of a compromise, right? You go into the managerial role and you're in meetings, you're answering emails. Now I'm talking with our graphic designers. I'm talking with our interns and you know, that time for actually creating goes down. But you know, it's something I wanted to tackle, you know, something to prove to myself that I could do. It was the best move at the time for my family. And, you know, everything has just kind of fell into place. So I'm very lucky. Like it's not lost on me, that, you know, my journey is definitely, you know, might be an exception to the rule where some people might have to move around a couple of times and find the right spot for them. And, you know, hopefully people do that. You know, I don't think I settled, you know, I made it work and, you know, enjoyed every minute of it. But, you know, for people that do need to move around, like, you need to find the right fit for you. And for somebody that's at one school, it might not be a fit for them, but it might be a fit for somebody else. So, you know, as long as you're kind of putting your best foot forward and making the most of every opportunity while you're there, you know, you'll figure it out eventually and you'll find your spot.
You know, people always, you know, talk about, you know, the grass not being greener and all this, but I guess you're a true testament of the grass becoming greener where you water it. Like, obviously, being from New Orleans, going to school at LSU, which is one of the, you know, best environments that you could possibly work in, they've obviously had, you know, opportunities that probably popped up. But choosing to, you know, not go for the bait and, like, staying at Texas and actually watering it, it actually, you know, it doesn't work out that way for everybody either. Because, you know, some people, even if opportunities come, it doesn't, or if something comes open where you are, it doesn't always work out that way because more people recruit outside the organization than within. But you were fortunate that, you know, from Coach Mack to Charlie to Tom, you know, now to Sark, that everyone was like, oh yeah, this guy, we can bring him along with us. Like, the fortune in that.
I mean, that kind of goes back to just dependability and trustworthy and hard work, right? Mm-hmm. If there's turnover in front of you and I'm working with the football and they bring a new coach in, like, are they saying good things about you to him when they get here? Like, oh yeah, you can trust this guy. This guy can do mm-hmm. it. Like, we have somebody here that can do it. And, you know, there was some, like, kind of missteps along the way there sometimes, but, you know, again, just proving yourself that, you know, you can do whatever is thrown your way. You might have to figure it out in the moment. You might have to learn on the way, but, you know, you're going to do it, you know, 100%, whatever it takes to kind of make it work, you know?
How have you managed to kind of stay focused or kind of humbled through it all? Like, you've worked with some legendary people, worked around some legendary athletes, done some amazing stuff, but, like, never being, like, too high or too low. Like, you're a pretty even keel guy for people who don't, like, know a whole lot about you. Like, where does that kind of come from that you're able to just stay in the moment and stay true to who you are?
Yeah, I don't know. My wife always jokes how, like, how nonchalant I can be. And, like, I don't know. In this field, and you guys probably know this as well, like, it is kind of hard to separate personal from business when it comes to being a creative and people critiquing work or asking for, you know, edits or, you know, hey, please take this out or whatever. And, like, I think that's kind of helped me. You know, I know what I do from a work standpoint is always professional and business. They're not attacking me as a person. Like, I can let stuff roll off my back. And I don't know if that's from my parents. You know, my dad was born and raised in Peru, came over to the States, worked hard for everything he got. My mom was a elementary school teacher back in New Orleans, so she has a lot of patience and you know, drive to kind of instill a lot of stuff in children, and did with me and my brothers. So you know, a lot of that came from them. But, you know, for me, like, I know at the end of the day, like, I'm doing a job. Like, I work for University of Texas football program, but we service so many other people within that umbrella, so we have to make sure everyone's getting what they need. And I'm not a big social media guy. Like, I'm a big retweeter, or, like, I'll reshare, like, things that right. I make for football and all my IG. But, like, all my ideas and all that stuff, I know I'm pushing towards the football page because that's priority number one. And it always has been, making sure we're putting out the best stuff. So I know what my role is. I know what my job is. And, yeah, man, there's a lot of cool people that come through here. I think I'm finally starting to maybe ask for pose photos with these guys now that I'm getting a little older and, you know, have kids. When I'm like, oh yeah, here's me and Bijan. And while he's scoring touchdowns on Sunday, you know, just kind of really appreciating those guys when they come through. But I mean, it's not about me or about what I do. It's about what we're putting out on the football page. And that's kind of the mindset I take from it. And I know if I really like a video that I did, then I'm going to put it on my page, you know. But that first priority for me, is always going to be towards, you know, making sure we're doing the best for the brand and the team and all our pages and making sure everyone in our program has what they need and satisfied with what they need.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions and just from
bring it on.
Sorry for taking all those questions, Justin.
No. I just from listening to you talk so far about your journey and starting in the athletic department, and now you're fully within the football department, but you're also servicing multiple departments and making sure people get what they need, working on social and working with different teams and different coaches that have come through. Because I know that sometimes when a new coach comes in, they bring in their own staff all the way down to creative and content and all of that as well. I guess maybe the best place to start is, what do you do more specifically in your role, obviously overseeing some of the creatives and collaborating with different departments and some of those meetings that you talked about? What does that look like for you on a more day-to-day basis?
Yeah. So we have, I oversee three full-time creatives under football, two graphic designers and another content creator, you know, specialty in video. I still kind of act as the primary video producer, editor for social. Our secondary video person, she kind of rolls with more of the recruiting side of it, but then she'll kind of pitch in with some social work, social video work. If I'm in a pinch, or like if she has an idea and she wants to run with it, you know, I'm all for it, you know, kind of all collaborate on the social side. But you know, we have a lot of, you know, we recruit at a high level from a personnel standpoint. So they have high expectations on what we're able to provide them to kind of help them out when it comes to graphics or videos or, you know, pamphlets, all that kind of stuff. So, our assistant director, Kyle Barkle, he does a great job working with them. He's kind of like the liaison to recruiting, and he works probably harder than anybody in the building. But he does it, you know, in such a great way where he's like, I know I can depend on him and don't really have to worry about him. And we all kind of pitch together on those official visits, and we're pitching ideas on what we can do differently and things like that, from recruiting and a social standpoint. You know, we'll pop in. Luckily, I don't have to be in every football staff meeting. I'll kind of pop into the later afternoon ones, you know, compliance or academics or the big ones leading into a game or recapping a game. So, you know, from that standpoint, I'm not in every 6 a.m. or 6:30 a.m. staff meeting during the season. So that kind of frees up some time for me. But you know, just making sure everyone has what they needed, whether it's nutrition, you know, the ops department, if we're doing facility upgrades, if we're changing graphics, making sure they have the photos they need, or if we're going to update the video board down in the lobby, like, all right, we need to take these guys out because they transferred out. We got to add this guy in. He's, you know, he's had a big spring game. We want to highlight him. So a lot of people, you know, creatives are in a weird way because everyone wants a piece of the pie, and it's our job to kind of facilitate in a, you know, evenly way. And, you know, sometimes we need to say no, but a lot of times we need to compromise and come to a, you know, a middle ground on, you know, what's kind of realistic and what we can provide and when what they need and what's really important, to kind of make sure we're pushing that top priority stuff through. And maybe we can let some of the lower level things slide by for now, and we'll, you know, when it's a little more of a downtime, maybe we can revisit that. So having those conversations, working with our student interns, you know, helping them with what they need, going through their footage with them, you know, looking, you know, sending them through ideas like, hey, what do you think about this, or how do you think they did this, and kind of walk them through that kind of stuff. Just trying to keep my hands on, not on everything, but involved with everybody, making sure they have what they need. You know, I'm not a graphic designer. I have no skill in that area. I'm a video guy through and through. So I'll let my graphic designers do what they do, and then they'll kind of bring me in at the end and see what I think. And from a, you know, quality control standpoint, like, oh, you know, that orange looks off, or like, hey, let's not use this guy right now, you know, save him. He's kind of, you know, working his way back from an injury or whatever. So, you know, making sure they're aware of that kind of stuff, and that, you know, we're not going to put anybody in a bad situation with what we're putting out or what we're sending out to recruits or on social, and just making sure we're running pretty smoothly.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear you talk about the different needs, because just hearing you talk through that, my mind immediately goes to NIL and how that has probably changed your workload when it comes to changing players out with the transfer portal and some of those kinds of things. But when it comes to content and the channels you obviously mentioned, recruiting, you've mentioned social media. Are those your primary two focus points where a lot of your work goes into? You're focusing on bringing in players, and obviously social media is kind of an outlet that goes out to fans as well, but is probably targeted to recruiting. How do you think about your different channels and distribution and how you approach from a strategy side of things?
Yeah, those are our two big distribution points, if you will. You know, they're the athletic side of creative. They handle pretty much a lot of or all of the in-game content and from the, you know, in-venue standpoint. So they have that on their plate, and we have these two things on our plate. But for us, I mean, we can send recruits stuff every night for 365 days straight. But, you know, they're getting that so much, for, you know, from every other school. So, you know, we try to stand out in different ways, you know, whether that is on social media, whether that is, you know, through our players, because, you know, all these recruits follow our players on Instagram, you know, if we're making sure they have their photos or their own highlight videos, you know, always kind of making sure Texas is in front of them on social, because that's where they live. You know, we see screenshots of some people's phones and they have thousands of unread messages. You know, how many graphics are in there, but they're going to be scrolling through Instagram and they're going to be sending, you know, seeing people's stories and they're seeing the content on Instagram and Twitter or X now, you know, so we kind of treat that equally, right? Like we're talking to recruits through social media. We're talking to fans through social media. We're trying to gain new fans in from social media, taking advantage of, you know, these high profile events like the NFL draft, NFL combine. You know, we just had a historic run. You know, we went, 13-2 or 12-1 regular season, won the Big 12 championship. Are we reaching a new audience there to kind of bring in people that haven't seen what we're doing from a creative standpoint before? And again, everything kind of comes back to recruiting. So multi-using different content from a social standpoint, repurposing that for recruiting when guys come on a visit, making content solely for official visits, content that no one will ever see. You know, I think two of my favorite videos I've ever done have never seen the light of day because we use them on our official visits. And that's a part of the process that people don't really see. You know, all the recruiting graphics that go into it, all the personalized videos that we're able to do now with the NCAA change a couple of years ago. You know, a lot of work for that stuff that, you know, number one, you never know if a kid sees it, if it gets sent to them, do they open it? But then like when they come on these visits, you know, how do we make our impact and like make lasting impressions with a video, or even if it's a presentation or a slide that's in the bottom by our training room, you know? All these little things that go into it, you know, we're always talking to recruits. That's, you know, Sark says it all the time. It's the lifeblood of our program. So everything we do has that recruit in mind. Like, how are they going to react to this? Do they think it's cool? Do they need to see it? And then also, again, service fans, new fans, and down from there, and hopefully get some ticket sales out of it, you know, on the back end too. But, you know, that's pretty much our main focus is always goes back to recruiting.
You touched on this, and we can kind of slightly pivot into this, is like you've been in Austin at Texas for about 11 years, came here as a, you know, in a relationship, but then get married, and then you have the first kid, and then you have the second kid. How have you managed to balance family in the ever-changing landscape of college athletics with recruiting is probably four times what it was when you first got started, and now NIL, and now transfer portal, and all of this? How have you managed to balance it?
Well, I'll say right off the bat, like, I am very lucky that I have the wife I have, because she is incredible. Like, I wouldn't be able to do any of this.
Shout out to Meg.
Without her. Yeah, shout out to Meg. She's awesome. She's the best. You know, been with me since the start of this career. It's kind of seen the more stuff added to the plate. And, you know, she's awesome. She understands football, you know, as a sport. Like, she's into football. Like, she loves watching the games. She gets probably more into it than I do, you know, if we watch a Saints game together. Like, she's, you know, more riled up than I am. I'll kind of be more reserved. She's hyping herself up watching the game and stuff. But you know, for us, like, just coming up together, going through it together, you know, I mean, there's definitely tough times, right? But it all comes down to like communications and expectations, you know, making sure I'm communicating to her what the schedule will be at this time. And I'm not perfect at it by any means. Like I still let stuff slip, or I think I tell her. But, you know, understanding expectation, you know, just making sure that she's in the loop on certain things, you know, so she can kind of plan out stuff with the kids, because now it is harder with two kids. And being a parent is hard in general. So like, if, you know, add on top of that, you know, the field we're in, it can get a little dicey sometimes, but I've always kind of lived by, you know, you make time for the things that are important to you. So if I know my daughter has an art show at 5:30 at her school, then I'm leaving here at, you know, 4 o'clock to make sure I'm not late and I'm getting there in time. And, you know, that's something we're pretty lucky about. You know, our staff understands the family atmosphere around here. And, you know, there's been times where, like, I had a family situation and I had to work from home for a month. You know, I don't know if many people know that. But, you know, I had a family situation, ended up having both kids out of school at the time. You know, our caretaker kind of wasn't able to do what we asked her, or couldn't do what we needed her to do. You know, an accident happened. And, you know, so I was on dad duty while working full time from home. So they were great with it. You know, they understood. And so that helps a lot, having that support from not only my staff that I supervise, like they can step in if they need to, but, you know, our CFO, our director of player personnel, you know, our head coach, you know, all those guys really understand and are accommodating to that kind of stuff. Now, like, I'm not going to abuse it, right? Like, I know the important things are the important things. Like, if we have an official visitor, like, I let my wife know, like, hey, these are the official visit weekends. Like, she knows in June, we're going to be probably going 7 days a week, you know, with all these official visits rolling through. But, you know, making, like I said, making the time for those things that are important to you. And I'm the same way with my staff, you know, the three supervisors. You know, if you have family things that are going on, and, you know, as long as you're open and communicating, like, we'll make it work. Like, if it's a spring practice and you have like a wedding you need to go to, like, we have 4 or 5 people here, we can bring interns in. Like, yeah, we'll make it work. Yeah, go for it. Like, I'm not going to tell you, you can't go be the best man or, you know, the maid of honor in your friend's wedding because it's, you know, spring practice number 11. Like, so being accommodating, making sure the important things say the important things. And when it comes to like the season, it gets a little harder because everything's important, right? Every game's a big game. You know, I try to do my best when I get home. I try to get home when they're eating dinner, and I'll, you know, try to leave my backpack in the car in the garage locked up until they go to sleep, or I'll try to leave my phone on the counter and like make sure all my attention's on my kids and, you know, before they go to bed, you know, doing bedtime with them. As soon as they go to sleep, me and my wife, we eat dinner together. You know, we try to make sure we have that time just for us where we can kind of catch up. I can ask her about her day and how she's doing and what's going on in her world, you know, outside of the family. And then if I do need to do work, it's probably not the healthiest thing, but I'll do it whenever everyone's going to sleep. You know, I'm sure people have seen my Instagram stories, and people poke fun at me all the time that I'm at 2 a.m. Instagram stories and I'm at the kitchen table working. But, you know, if things need to get done, then that's the best time to do it for me because there's no distractions. I mean, you know, my email's not blowing up. I can get in a creative groove. Like you guys know, like, it's hard to start and stop. Like, if you are attacking a project, you got to go forward, you got to dive in. And that's usually where the magic happens, when you get in the flow. But if you're getting pulled in all these different directions and emails pop up and you got to get in this meeting, or I got to go check on an intern, like, that kind of can bring the workflow to a halt. So, you know, during the season, you know, not proud of it, but like, there were a lot of all nighters at the crib, you know, making sure the recaps are done, making sure the hotel video is done, making sure our trailer is done, you know, our big three pieces of content, like staples of the season, that we'll do weekly. But that's the part I enjoy the most. Like, that's the part of the job that I love, is creating and editing, telling stories and trying out new effects and, you know, bringing the game to life, angles that no one's ever seen or would think about seeing. Like, that's the part I enjoy the most. So at the end of the day, yeah, it's taxing and it's hard. But it's rewarding knowing that I'm still being able to put this kind of stuff out, and just be proud of it.
You know, a couple things you said stood out in that is that, one, it takes sacrifice from a multitude of, from you, from your wife, from the staff, coaches. The second thing is choosing the right person to do that with, because for some, it may be like, you know, and that's staff and family, because like, even when we worked together, there weren't times where we felt like, man, family's getting in the way of the work. Like, and or that you were pouring all of your work to put, because I've worked with some people and, you know, family comes first and it's kind of used as a crutch, like, oh, I'm going to leave here at 4 o'clock because, you know, I can do that now. And if you're not choosing the right person or you're not choosing to pursue that or being able to pursue relationship working in this business, you can find yourself stuck for, you know, 5, 10, 15 years. And it's like, oh, well, job has to come first because this is what it, like, it's a taxing, you know, we have a lot of listeners who probably will never choose to work more than 5 years in college athletics. Justin, I would love to hear like your perspective from the pro level of like how that can get in the way sometimes and how some people just choose to leave because like, hey, I'm never going to get in a, you know, be able to pursue what I really want because this requires all of my energy. So I don't know if I had a question in there, but like the importance of choosing the right people to work with, choosing the right people to do life with, all that was, I guess, the question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Justin's getting the question or not, but it's hard. Like, even like it really isn't all sunshine and rainbows. Like, me and my wife have a great relationship, and you know, we're stronger than ever. But like, there are days where it's harder than others. Like that's never going to go away. And I think that's with any job. You know, it just so happens that we're in a high paced world of college football where things can turn on a dime, mm-hmm. And be very fluid. And you know, that's something that, you know, we both understand and we do our best to kind of get in front of sometimes, but you know, at the end of the day, we only get so much heads up on some certain things that I got to take off and go, and you know, yeah. It might suck in the moment, but she understands and the kids are getting older and they understand. And I might be on my phone trying to post something. It might take me 30 minutes to post something as simple as a picture because, you know, my kid wants Cheerios or, hey, can you switch the streaming service? Like, so, but like, it's great, man. My daughter's starting to get into football a little bit. She loves going to the games. Could not care about them being on TV. Wants nothing to do with them on TV. So that's when the tablets come in. If there's a Saints game or something, me and my wife want to watch. She's athletic. She loves running around, catching the football, you know, kicking a soccer ball. So that's part of getting fun. And when she can be a little older to really kind of take in that game day experience, you know, it's going to be something really special that, you know, both of them can enjoy.
You don't get the concessions at home. That's probably the difference, right?
Yeah. She wants popcorn, cotton candy. That's the thing.
Yeah, sure. My wife felt like she was a single parent for a lot of the times when I was working with the Celtics. So it was, yeah, it's definitely hard to find the balance and all that. So
for my wife, you know, they have a great support system with the support staff wives because they're all in it together. So they get together to try to have watch parties during the season, you know, at the bowl That's game, great. They all, you know, hang out. And so like, she has people that are going through the same thing she's going through, which, you know, helps her and helps, you know, the other wives in the group and being able to share, you know, share stories or vent, you know, like that kind of stuff goes a long way to have someone that's going through that with you. So, you know, this staff as a whole, you know, they definitely are good at including the wives in certain aspects of our program that kind of give them that support system feel.
And it's not like an episode of Basketball Wives. Like, they actually do like each other and enjoy
each other. They're awesome.
So, with everything that you have going on, balancing work, balancing family, what do you do to like get away from it mentally, to like, you know, shut it off?
I don't know if I ever can truly shut it off. Like, our staff's great at giving us time away. Like, we have the whole month of July to ourselves. You know, we're off there. At the end of this month, we'll have a week off before we go into the, you know, busiest recruiting time of the year. And you know, I tell myself I'm gonna turn it off, but I can never really truly do. Like, I'm always thinking of something, or like, we've only posted one thing today. Like, I gotta get something else out. Like, what kind of reel can we do? If there's a photo, like, my mind's always turning. But honestly, it's just hanging out with the kids. You know, if I'm building a fort with, you know, these pillows that we have in our playroom, or, you know, trying to see if my daughter can ride the bike without the steering wheels. Like, any time with them is my time away is great. a little mental decompression. You know, just hanging out with my wife after they go to bed, if we're just watching like a Netflix show or if we're rewatching Parks and Rec for the eighth time, you know, just kind of decompressing that way. You know, they're whatever, I'm not in full work mode, I'm in full dad mode and full family mode. And that, I think that goes back to balancing those two things pretty well and making sure I'm giving everything to both sides.
Let's jump into your different bowl games and opportunities that you've had, experiences and things that you would consider big moments in your career so far. When it comes down to, you mentioned, you know, your wife getting an opportunity to go hang out with other wives within the program, which is awesome, because when you go to a bowl game, you're gone for a handful of days, I assume. It's not just like a there and back. You're not there for the game and home later that day. What have been some of those memorable experiences that you've had?
Obviously, people know Texas, you know, until this past year. You know, we've kind of had a roller coaster of seasons, you know, not the best, you know, some underwhelming, some overperforming, kind of a wide gambit of results. But, you know, luckily my wife's been able to go with me to all those, whether they're in San Antonio, you know, again, the staff's accommodating to families, you know, she hopped on the plane and our whole family was on the plane to the college football playoff game this year. You know, they were on the plane with me. It was a great experience to see their eyes wide open with this huge plane and, you know, going to the hotel and getting the police escort. So that stuff's always fun to experience with like your wife or your family. But, you know, a couple of bowl games stand out. You know, that 2018 Sugar Bowl, when we played Georgia, for me, that was the first time being from New Orleans. I had been in the Superdome countless of times, you know, for football games, basketball games, I think even a baseball game, you know, car shows. You know, I had been on the floor in the Superdome, but never on the turf of a football setup. I've been in all kinds of Saints games. I've, you know, was in the 600 level. I was in the lower bowl. But to be like actually on the field filming for Texas was something that like I was very excited about, something that, you know, will always stick with me. Just to make it to that point, because, you know, I was from there in my hometown stadium. And then, you know, to go on and win that game in 2018 versus Georgia. Darius, you know, I know you shot with me that day, you know, very,
it was a fun, you game. Know,
incredible game. To see the way those guys celebrated and just the joy they had and the joy we had, you know, that was a long, you know, a lot of hard work to every season. So to win your last game is always like the cherry on top, right? So, you know, that game always sticks out. That video that we made after was always pretty funny to me because my brother got married 4 days later in San Francisco. So instead of flying back on the team plane, my wife and I drove back with our, I want to say maybe 8 month daughter, or maybe she was over, I think she was over a year. We drove back to Austin from New Orleans that very next day. Not the best drive. I was trying to edit as much as I could. The next morning, we flew to San Francisco for my brother's wedding. I literally pulled up to the Airbnb where the rest of my family was staying, found a monitor in the kitchen, attached it to my laptop, and kind of set up a home base to kind of finish this edit. So, you know, we had wedding festivities during the day. At night, I would just sit back down, try to edit and finish the recap. And it was one of my favorite videos, obviously because of the game and the result, but like that story, just like having to, you know, editing in the airport or like trying to edit in the backseat while my, you know, feeding my daughter a bottle in the car, sitting in traffic, you know, that kind of stuff that no one really sees. But to edit that piece, you know, pretty historical piece and a significant piece of our football team and program, and then, you know, go be the best man at my brother's wedding, you know, pretty wild, couple weeks or a couple of days there. You know, this year is always going to be special. The last year in the Big 12, you know, to have the season we did, to kind of lead our creative team, to do the, you know, the cool stuff we got to do all year. You know, I got to do a video with The Undertaker. So growing up as a wrestling fan, to do a video with The Undertaker is something I wanted to do for years once I realized he would come around here every now and then and was a Texas fan. So to do that video in like a quick, you know, 24-hour turnaround, you know, that was a lot went into that, but again, very rewarding. So we got to do videos with Matthew McConaughey. We got to do videos with Glenn Powell for the OU game. He did our voiceover. So kind of everything kind of built to that Big 12 championship game this year. And, you know, it was up in Dallas and I kind of just threw it out there like, hey, I would love, can we get this many credentials for creative? So our 4 full-time and our 10 students, and you know, somehow we're able to get them all. And then add on top of that, the athletics department had their full-time people going too from a creative standpoint. So we must have had like at least 10 different cameras at that game. So to build a video to kind of put our stamp on the Big 12, our last season in there, the last Big 12 championship, you know, to have a video that'll pretty much be evergreen, stand the test of time, you know, with all that content together. That one kind of stands out as well as like another one that, you know, I'm pretty proud of, just from like everyone's input on it. You know, we have shots from our student interns that were incredible. We had student interns from the athletics department that had shots in there. Our athletic creatives, full-time staff were in there, you know. So just to have everyone be a part of that was pretty special. And then, you know, going into the playoff game, I thought I would kind of get a little emotional after we won the Big 12, you know, 10 years, kind of building up to that point, never won a conference championship. Never really had a season like this. I thought I would, you know, kind of get a little teary eyed, you know, kind of step back and breathe a little bit and take it all in. But honestly, that kind of felt like another game in a weird way. I wasn't really expecting that feeling of like, yeah, I was excited, but like, I don't know, not like very sentimental about it. But that next morning when we were watching the college football playoff selection show in our lounge area, I don't have a camera in my hand. I'm going to just push the button if we get in or not for a social. And, you know, once our name popped up on the screen and I saw the reaction of our guys, and, you know, we have a great video that we had from the GoPro that showed their reaction, and you can just feel the emotion that they had, the sense of like pride and like, yeah, we did it. You know, we're going to do this. So everything that I've been through, you know, probably one of the more rewarding moments was hitting tweet or publish or post on that graphic, that we're in graphic, and just to be able to hit that button, step back and just see everybody like super emotional, overcome with joy. Like that moment kind of sticks with me to this day. Like I've never felt that way when it comes to work and accomplishment, because you know, all the stuff that we have put in, I'm like tearing up about it now, man. It's a lot of hard work on my end, but also, you know, from going 5 wins with Coach Sark's first year to going to the playoffs, it meant a lot to everybody. So that was probably like the moment, I would think, just, and I wasn't even holding the camera. It was just kind of taking everyone else's reaction in, and just a special, special moment.
Man, that was a little heavy there, Derek.
Yeah, man. When you put a lot of work in and those moments come around, you just gotta let it go.
Yeah. And that playoff game was in New Orleans as well, right?
It was, yeah. That was the other thing, because we're trying to, you know, on the personal side, the wife and I are trying to figure out Christmas, right? Like, how are we going to do Christmas? Are the kids going to come with us if we have to go to Dallas? You know, do we want to take them to wherever we go? But like, you know, we knew what the report dates would have been if we would have went to the Cotton Bowl or if we went to the Sugar Bowl. So again, that played a role in it too. Like, knowing I get to spend Christmas with my kids, like all of that just kind of made it an incredible moment.
So. Let's get a little bit back into the day-to-day role. Like, you know, a lot of people have aspirations to get to what your position is as a, you know, director of creative or creative director of a program or a department.
And today, fast.
Yes, tomorrow. Can I get there in a couple hours? But what they don't realize, and we talked about this when we had Matt Lang on a while back, is that the more responsibility that you get and the higher that you go, the less actual creative in a lot of cases. Now, there are certain cases where, you know, like one of my previous bosses was still like in it. Like he was that inundated with, you know, trying to create that look and feel. And, you know, we also only had 3 full-time staff members back then. But now with everything going on, there's a lot of meetings. There's a lot of, you know, you got to go here. Now you got to manage all of these schedules. How do you approach that? Like, what's your approach as a leader of a department? Not necessarily, oh, I'm the boss of this department, do what I say, but more so a leader, because you're kind of laid back as well. Like you say, your wife probably says you're nonchalant, but it's more of a laid back approach, I would say.
Just try not to get overwhelmed. Because a lot of stuff does come through. I think that's kind of where like the late nights at home during the season come through, because they're, the hours of the day dwindle down with all that's going on, because there isn't a time to create really. But I think a lot of it starts with, you know, trusting your team. You know, when I took this role, I hired out, you know, our full-time staff for creative and, you know, made sure we put people in place that I can trust and I can delegate. And, you know, even at the time, you know, delegating stuff was kind of hard for me because I was so used to doing all the video stuff. But learning to trust the people that I brought on to do their job and do it, I knew they could do it at a high level. So making sure that I'm just giving them the support that they need on those projects and, you know, trusting them to do it. Even delegating down to interns, like, I know he can do this, or I know she can do that, so I'm going to give him or her that project. You know, a lot of it just comes down to like trust and dependability. If I know this person is going to do a great job, I can delegate to them for this, or, you know, maybe I don't need to do every footage request that comes through, you know, what can kind of be delegated down. That's not a high impact deal. It's still important. But you know, if ESPN is looking for footage of Xavier Worthy, you know, as much as I know the footage and as much as I live in the footage and I know what I can send, you know, that doesn't make sense for me to spend that much time of, you know, what little time I have to create or do something, you know, video wise, you know, I can pass that down to, you know, an intern or something. So, you know, I've always been hands-on with what I do. So that part was kind of one of the harder things for me to realize, like I need to delegate and just be trustworthy with our staff. So, but I think like, for young people, like wanting to be in this role right away, like I probably wasn't ready for this role even for, you know, two or three years ago. Like you pick up so much by not being in this seat, learning how people approach things, react to things, good and the bad. You know, always kind of learning, you're going to pick up things that you didn't realize that you were learning or that'll stick with you. Until you're in a situation, you'd be like, oh, I remember this time so-and-so said this when this came up. And, you know, that's a great way to handle this situation. So learning experience goes a long way. And I think that's kind of where some of the burnout or some of the turnover comes from, is because people think they want a job like this, but then they get to it and they realize I'm not creating. I'm not equipped, might not be the right word, but I'm, you know, I might not be mature enough to handle situations where I need to go tell, you know, the recruiting staff, hey, we can't do this right now, or, you know, this isn't a good idea right now, or, you know, have to, you know, compromise. And even though you don't want to do something, like you realize like this is something we need to do. Like it's all, this comes from experience and learning, and it's stuff you pick up in the entry level, in the middle management, you know, I don't, you know, whatever, there's been discussion on like the different levels of like where people should go, but like, you're always going to be learning. Like I'm learning everything. I'm still learning to this day, like sitting in different meetings and learning from, you know, our exec staff or, you know, our recruiting staff, or even, you know, Coach Sark, when I'm sitting in the staff room, like I'm seeing how he's handling situations and seeing how he's talking to the team. Like maybe that's all I can bring to our area as well. So, you know, the jobs will always be there. You don't want to rush and think you deserve a spot when you might not be ready for it. And you might not realize that till you get there. And then it doesn't go out the way you expected it or wanted to, and then, you know, you're out, or you move on, and, you know, that opportunity could have been good, you know, for you 2 years later when you're ready for it. And I think some people, you know, if they can kind of just take that advice, you know, always be learning, you know, storing away ideas and things like that for when you are ready and that opportunity presents itself and it makes sense, then, like, you know, obviously you take full advantage of it and get it done.
One more question about management, and then we're going to play a game. What goes into, as kind of a, your, let's say you have a position open, or like you said, you were able to hire, you know, more than one person when you got into that role. What goes into getting the right staff around you for Derek? Not just, hey, this is what everybody should look for, because, you know, every manager is different. But what really needed to be some of the characteristics or skills that you were looking for these positions that you were able to fill?
Yeah, fit's a big part of it. You know, you're with these guys and girls in your area, like more so than I am with my family, you know? So it is kind of hard to gauge people on the phone or through Zoom, but, you know, you you look at their social media page, like, what are they posting? Is it stuff about the team and stuff about themselves? You know, are they giving their hot takes out in public? You know, I've been here a long time. I know how this place works. So I know what, you know, I know how this place works, the ins and outs, what it's expected, you know, the, all the eyeballs on it, the pressure that comes with working here. So the people that we interview is like, all right, what are your job roles? When you come here, is it going to be more or less? Are you, are we adding more to your plate where you might not be able to do what we need you to do? Or are we taking some roles away and you're able to focus solely on one more thing that, or so focus solely on one thing that you can really maximize what you're good at? So if they have a lot of job responsibilities and they're handling everything the right way and can't juggle multiple projects, then they might be a better fit for this job that we're trying to hire. If they only are doing one thing and they're going to come into a role where they have to juggle multiple aspects of a, you know, of a project, well, maybe that's not for them. You know, everything here is definitely, you know, team first, making sure we're protecting the brand, you know, a lot of eyeballs on us, a lot of pressure. You know, we're in a, it's a funny spot because we have one of the best fan bases in the world that, you know, are always looking at what we're doing, but every other fan base that hates us is also looking at us and seeing what we're doing. So can they handle the pressure of, you know, the scrutiny and, you know, just the badge of honor of wearing the brand on their shirt, you know, that kind of stuff. And a lot of that is hard to kind of gauge through a resume or through, through a, you know, a Zoom call or a phone call. So, but you just got to try your best to turn over every stone, you know, ask the questions and bring up things that are important to what we're going to be doing and be upfront with them with the expectations and, you know, making sure that they're aware of like, hey, this is how it is here. Like we operate this way, you know, this is what we're going to be doing. You know, when it comes to the month of June, be ready to just be recruiting mode. You know, you might work on social graphics or I might work on social video, but the month of June, we're all in recruiting. You know, making sure just like that kind of stuff is laid out ahead of time. So they know, and some people can't handle it. And some people realize like, you know, man, this might not be for me right now. And that's okay. Like that's, you know, this place really isn't for everybody. There's a lot of eyeballs, there's a lot of pressure. And, you know, we want the people that, you know, live for that pressure to kind of come in every day and create the best thing because they know they're, you know, all these people watching what we do, trying to make a slip up or all this other stuff or poke fun of us. And, you know, that's always going to live with us. So that pressure, you know, creates diamonds, hopefully. Some pipes might burst, but, you know, we'll coach them up a little bit. But yeah, just fit, dependability, work ethic, you know, all those things I, you know, would take over talent because you can learn, you can get better. I didn't pick up a camera until I got here. Like I never filmed when I was in college. I was awful with a camera. I didn't get frame rate. I didn't get shutter speed when I first started here. But you know, you can learn that stuff. Like, but do you have the drive? Do you have the motivation, the internal motivation? Do you have ideas? Like, are you presenting ideas constantly? That's the stuff that like really makes people stand out. And that's what we look for.
I'm glad you said that. And it's not just me on here saying every episode that, you know, there's a lot of talent out there, but it's more to
so much talent. There's like now it like some of these students I see posting their work. I'm like, man, this is incredible. When I was in college, I was editing on like Final Cut Express with like a Sony Handycam if I needed something. Like these guys have, you know, all the Adobe Cloud stuff and, you know, all the DSLR and all the lenses. Yeah. Like that it's, there's so much available and it's a good thing. Like, cause it pushes me. Like I see these interns at other schools or even our interns, you know, here at Texas, you know, we have some great interns here and I see what they're doing. I'm like, man, I need to step my game up. If he's doing this, like, you know, these young kids coming for our heads over here. So we got to, you know, and that's that internal competition and motivation, like, you know, but yeah, there's so much talent out there. Anyone can pick up a camera and be great at it. And there are a lot of people that are great at it, but are you putting forth the work for the other stuff? Are you willing to label? Are you willing to, you know, the last second photo shoot pops up. Hey, we need you here. Are you going to be here? Like, and a lot of that stuff, you know, we try to instill from the start, like this is the expectation. And, you know, if it's not going to work out, you know, it might not work out. But as long as you're upfront with people, what to expect, it gives them the opportunity to say, yes, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. But then it gives you the chance to be like, I saw how he kind of reacted to this, or you know, she didn't like how, you know, we might be working on Thanksgivings if we play A&M every year. So like, you kind of pick up little things, and that just comes with experience again, trying to read people and not make connotations, but just like how they kind of react to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we all have to live on our situational awareness now that we're older, right?
Absolutely.
Sometimes I see things get posted. I'm like, I hope this person has someone that like helping mentor them, because this is really cool. It just needs to get tied together a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I could go on a rant, but I did enough ranting last episode.
I tell our kids and our interns, even our full-time staff, like, my job is obviously to push you, but I want to reel you back in. Like, I want you to go so crazy and so hard and like have the craziest ideas that I'm not having to pull that out of you.
Yep.
If I need to, I will. I'll push you and, you know, I'll make sure I'm on you and I'm, you know, making sure you're motivated to get the best stuff done. But like, when we're at our best is when our interns, our full-time staff, they're bringing those ideas to the table. And I need to reel them back in. Like, oh, we probably shouldn't do that. I love the idea, but you know, right now.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, ideally what's going on.
All right. We're going to play a quick little game here. You got 30 seconds. So it's not going to be a whole lot of time, but you've been around for a long time. You've obviously worked a lot of game days, been a lot of places. In your 10 plus years, you get 30 seconds to list out as many of the best game day atmospheres you've ever experienced. And 3, 2, 1, go.
The Cotton Bowl is by far the greatest experience, and I can't explain it. DKR has been on the rise. It's awesome to catch a game at. LSU, you know, night game in Tiger Stadium. The Swamp at Florida was pretty intimidating when I went there as a student to watch as a fan. Let's see. Iowa State a couple years ago was pretty rocking. Kind of a low-key sleeper. I think they moved the student section around a little bit since then, but that was pretty hostile. Ole Miss was fun. A little tailgating overrated. No, there you go.
That's it. 6.
Ole Miss is overrated. I like ending on that one.
You're lying.
It was a good atmosphere.
You
the
are
Grove,
lying.
The Grove, maybe it's just not the tailgating I'm used to or would go to, but the Grove is not for me.
Yeah.
You obviously haven't been to Nebraska for any games.
I have not. No,
I haven't either. Maybe we should all just convene there. LSU is, I tell people this all the time, LSU is arguably my favorite place to ever like go catch a game.
It's fun, man. I was lucky as a student because I didn't have any game day responsibilities.
Right.
Like, I was just an editor. I would go in during the week and edit, but on Saturdays, you know, we were out tailgating and going into the game, and just an incredible time. I'm looking forward to going back there. I was very upset.
I think
we had him here in 2019. And then we were having the return trip in 2020, and COVID kind of
derailed
nip that in the bud. So I was very upset. Another place I'd never been on the field for, like in a football setting. Like, I've been to so many games there, but never been on the grass during a football game with a camera for sure. So whenever we make it back there,
the ground literally shakes.
Yeah.
I was there in, let's see, when did Odell come out? So this was 2012.
That was 2010. Or which one? The punt return was 2010.
Yes.
Whenever
it was, I was in the stadium. And I've never been as ticked off as I was at that game.
I was there for that one. I was at a lot of crazy LSU games. Involving Ole Miss, too. The Spike game. I was at that game in the stands at Ole Miss at Oxford.
Wow.
Maybe that's why I think it's overrated, because we lost that game.
You did lose that game. Let's lost some memorable games there, you know, time management. But that game with Odell Beckham, like, it was a great game already. But because every time that Ole Miss and LSU play, they always have to go back to 1969, I think, when Billy Cannon did the punt return. Yep. But to have that same similar feeling that many years later was like nostalgia, and kind of like, how did this happen? These two teams, this stadium, like all of it. But bar none, I've never been in a stadium that I've enjoyed just being in. as much as LSU. So I need to go back.
If I'll have a bonus round right here, the Arkansas game 2 years ago when we went, we walked into a buzzsaw that night from a fan, from a team standpoint, and that crowd hated us. And we're used to getting booed and horns down and middle fingers and stuff thrown at us all the time. They were on another level that night. So that one I probably should have said a little sooner. But yeah, that one, I'm looking forward to going there again this year as well.
Yeah, Arkansas, if I never went to another stadium, and Arkansas fans, if you're listening, do not hate me. This is actually a compliment. It's literally one of the worst environments for the opposing team. Like, they
It was awesome.
Are,
as a fan, yeah.
They are very serious. Like,
as a fan of college football, it was fun to experience, but as a employee at the University of Texas, it sucked.
Not fun when you're losing. I do have I think I may have talked about this on an episode when we had somebody from, so they play, or I don't know if they still do, but they would always play one game a year in Little Rock at the Little Rock Stadium. And this is when I was at Ole Miss, and Ryan Mallett, rest in peace, was their quarterback. Pre-game, he was throwing the ball from the field to the upper deck. Like, I've never seen anyone with an arm that...
Dude was before his time. And he was good in college, but
absolutely. He had a huge arm. You
know, yeah.
So we always like... I was just going to wrap with advice. That's what we typically end on, is like advice for young creatives. I know you gave some tidbits in there, but like... You know, like we talked about, this industry is not all peaches and roses, and most of the time it's more like sour peaches in some situations if you're not
just
built
bowl
for
game
it.
Names.
What's that?
They're just bowl game names.
Oh, absolutely. The sour peach, brought to you by. But for somebody who's seen a lot of change and all that in this industry, what advice can you give to people to like stay the course and, you know, ride this thing out and figure it out?
I would say, just like any job, there's good days and there's bad days. Like, that doesn't change with any job you go to. But you know, you just need to know what you're getting into ahead of time, you know, understand and ask these questions when you're interviewing, like, what's the expectation of, you know, getting into the office, you know, what's the dress? Like, you know, it's crazy, but like, if it probably makes it easier to go to work in, you know, basketball shorts and a t-shirt, as opposed to, you know, having to wear slacks and a button up every day. So making sure you're aware of that kind of stuff, like asking those questions, I think kind of gets slipped under the radar. Cause once you get there, you're like, oh man, I gotta wear a tie every day. Like, or I gotta wear a button up, or like, but just like every other job, like it has its good days, and the good days are incredible. Like, you're around a lot of great athletes, great people. You make a lot of friends, a lot of networks that might help you out when your time's, you know, done in this field. So, but just being, you know, self-motivated, that internal drive will like help you stick out more so than talent. You can always learn, you can always pick up, you know, new traits and new tricks here and there. But if you don't have that drive and the motivation, like if this is something you want to do, then go for it. You know, trustworthy and dependable is like the trait we tell our students all the time. Like, those student interns kind of stand out above the rest when they're in here, when they're, you know, they're not scheduled to be here. You know, they're just hanging out and they're trying out something new, or they're working on something way past their office hours. Like, people notice that. So like it's definitely not a punch the clock in and out at your time and you're done, you wipe your hands with it type of situation. But like, you know, some of the experiences I've had, I wouldn't have anywhere else. You know, being a big sports fan, going to football games and these incredible stadiums and incredible atmospheres, you know, it's a high that like you don't get to experience anywhere else. And I think people, you know, unless they've been through it, don't know what I'm talking about. Like, it takes me a couple of hours to decompress after working a game. Like, it's, you know, the adrenaline pumps and it's in a great feeling, and, you know, being involved with the team and, you know, I'm not getting my head crunched off or tackled to the ground, but like, I feel like I'm a part of it and in it. So I think just, you know, standing out with your work ethic can go a long way. you know, don't stay the course to where it's like detrimental to like your mental health or anything. Like, but you know, just because you have one bad day and, you know, one bad experience, like it can be nothing personal. It might be strictly business. And, you know, from a work standpoint, you know, you just gotta take it. You gotta let yourself know that like, it's not an attack on you as a person. The person's trying to help your work get to a, you know, a standard that they might have for you or for the brand. And, just take everything as a learned experience and make sure that, you know, you're learning, never stop learning basically.
Yeah. I love it. Got to take it in. Cause some people, you know, they're so ready to get to the next thing. I tell people often, learn everything that you can where you are and maximize on that, because
yeah. And some opportunities are too good to pass up. Like I get it. Like, absolutely. But just make sure like you have all the information as much as you can get out of out of them when you're interviewing in the process. And, you know, if you have connections and make sure you're coming with questions. Don't just let them, you know, ask you. If you have friends in the industry, like ask them like, hey, what have you heard about this place? Like use those resources because, you know, the right fit for you is out there. Just make sure that, again, you're doing the homework ahead of time and you're doing what you think is right for you.
Awesome. Well, D, thank you for joining us. We've enjoyed it. We could have easily gone 4 hours of time, you know, telling stories, but keep doing the great work that you're doing at UT, and we'll see you on the field in the fall.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me. I love the show. You guys are doing a great job giving guys and girls platforms to kind of tell their stories and, you know, just kind of help grow the creative industry. So shout out to you guys as well.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. Special thanks to APM for providing the music used in the podcast today. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions. So pop on over to the sports creative community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're not a member and would like to join, go to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.